From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today, America is remembering the life and legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who led a movement that changed our country and our world. We thought we'd start with some tape of Dr. King himself. There are so many iconic speeches to choose from, but here's a clip from a sermon called The Three Dimensions of a Complete Life. He delivered it 1 year before his assassination, April 9, 1967, at the New Covenant Baptist Church in Chicago.
What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, go on out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And when you do this, you've mastered the length of life.
Today on The 21st, we're dedicating the entire hour to Dr. King's legacy. Later in the program, we'll hear from Don Rose, who was King's press secretary in 1966 during his Chicago Freedom Campaign. We'll also hear how King's legacy has inspired one of the youngest elected officials in Illinois, 22-year-old Alex Sierra, who's serving on the Board of Trustees of the Peoria Park District. But first, Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun served as a U.S. Senator from Illinois, 1993 to 1999. She was the first black woman elected to the United States Senate. Later, she was ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa from 1999 to 2001 under President Bill Clinton. Ambassador Braun, welcome back to The 21st. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, because we recorded today's show ahead of time, we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought about our conversations on Twitter at 21st Show or send us an email, talk@21stshow.org. So I want to begin by reading from an article the Chicago Tribune ran in 1994, and it looked back at 1966 and quoted a, quote, scared teenager who watched Martin Luther King Jr. take a rock to the head during an open housing march in Marquette Park. It goes on to say that King kept the moral high road, helping the high school student restrain an impulse to pick up a rock and throw it at the jeering crowd. I understand that teenager was you. Can you share that story and your memories of Dr. King with us?
Well, the reason I kind of chuckled is because you clearly have done your homework. That's a true story. That was one of the formative points in my life. I had no idea that I was going to be involved with public service in any way before that. And it made such a profound impression on me that it literally shaped my life direction from that moment forward. And Dr. King was such an inspirational figure. And I remember looking at him after he was hit by a rock and looking at just his face at the time was just so calm and beatific. It's hard not to use religious language in this regard, but because what he's talking about is just probably core principles of Christianity. I mean, really, at the end of the day, He is reaching for the higher values, for the higher angels, if you will. And he inspired me at that point to eschew the calls to violence, eschew the call to this anger, really to reach for the higher ground and to stay on the high road. And that was the inspiration of that moment in my life. So, yeah.
You know, so many people today, though, reach for that anger, right? The anger comes up,
yes. And
that's an impulse they embrace. What do you think it was about him, in your understanding, that kept him, what was he able to tap into that made him push that back?
He was a profoundly spiritual and religious man, and the fact that his character was such that he was able to reach for those higher values, call on the higher angels, the better angels of our nature. And he did it time and time again. And he actually saw the connections between the liberation of African Americans and the liberation of poor people. I mean, he saw the connection between all of that, and he was able to speak to it in such an eloquent way that he brought people to his side, and that was what gave rise to the civil rights movement as we know it.
So there's King, there's the civil rights movement. Life progresses through the 70s, through the 80s in Chicago. You have Harold Washington becoming the first black mayor. At what point do you decide, not activism, but public service, elected office, is the route you want to take in life?
Well, you know, I didn't decide. It was kind of decided for me, if you will. I had been with a group of bird watchers in Jackson Park. And Bob Mann, who was my predecessor in the state legislature, had just retired. And some neighbors came and asked me if I'd be interested in running for Bob Mann's seat. And, of course, I was totally confused as to what that meant. I didn't know what a state representative did. I literally had to go to the library and look it up. this is pre-Google, right? So I went to the library and looked up what the job description was. And I thought, well, you know, that sounds like something I can do. And I think I can make a contribution by doing it. And that was what did it. That and Dr. King's inspiration.
So life progresses. You're the first black woman elected to the United States Senate. The second black woman elected to the Senate was Kamala Harris, who's now the vice president of the United States.
Right.
Can you talk about the role that maybe King had in paving the path for both of those milestones?
Well, the world that we live in now would be very different in the absence of Dr. King and his contributions. He literally changed the world for all of us. And when I think about the world that my mother came up in, or that my grandmother came up in, they could not even imagine the kind of opportunities that are available to me because of the color of their skin. They just couldn't. This was incomprehensible to them. And so the fact is that what Dr. King did was he essentially removed the stigma of race and color, and he removed by reaching for the higher angels, he inspired people to be the best that they could be and to be good people and to recognize that we are all God's children and that we all have something to contribute. And in so doing, that opened up doors to people like me, and not just me, but to people like me, like Kamala Harris, like others who are now serving in public life, either in elective office or otherwise. But there are all kinds of people who were inspired by Dr. King's message of, you know, talent. And that was the speech, the clip you just gave. You know, if a person is a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can be. And if you contribute to the best of your ability, then the community benefits as a whole by not limiting people by their race or their gender or their sexuality or whatever. And it is that essential message that I think Dr. King gave to the country and to the world, and that people responded positively to.
I think for a lot of people, they think of Martin Luther King and they think of the I Have a Dream speech, the March on Washington. And maybe for some, their memory ends there, right? They're not digging deeper. He increasingly, and you alluded to this earlier, he increasingly turned toward issues of poverty later, right, in his activism work. He didn't know it would be the end of his life necessarily, but toward the end of his life. Do you think that aspect of his legacy is overlooked or perhaps willfully ignored today?
Well, I think the latter, actually. I think willfully ignored, because quite frankly, you know, we have, you know, the pendulum does swing both ways. And so we went through a period in which Dr. King's vision for our country was the one that was transcendent and that people gravitated to, back to I've got mine, you will get yours kind of selfishness. And hopefully we're coming out of that. I just don't know. I don't know that we are, because I'm not, I don't have a crystal ball. But I'm hoping that we will continue to seek out the higher angels of our nature, as Dr. King suggests that we do, because that serves everybody's interest. At the end of the day, we are stronger as an America if we can tap talent without regard to the divisions and without dividing people and pitting people against one another. I think that that's the way, and that was Dr. King's message, and that's what's always inspired me to stay involved.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun. She was U.S. Senator from Illinois, 1993 to 1999, and then served as ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa under the Clinton administration. Ambassador, as you know, King's activism was instrumental in passage of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, the latter in 1965. Here we are today in 2022. Voting rights are again at the top of the Democratic political agenda in Washington. The Biden administration is making a big push for that. What do you make of the fact that this is still what we're debating in 2022, all these years later?
Well, let me say, put it in perspective, this is a debate that's been going on for a very, very long time. And hopefully we'll get to the point where we won't have to talk about letting everybody have the franchise, because again, this is democracy. And that's what the president has been talking about, making sure that we stand up for democracy and recognize that the real challenge is for those people who would rather have a dictatorship or an autocracy, people who want to be told what to think, and as opposed to people who just are prepared to search for truth and to go after going the direction of that leads them. And so this is a continuing argument, a continuing debate, and it's one that, frankly, I think I welcome, because I believe that Americans believe in democracy. I believe that Americans believe that every person should have something to say about the kind of government we're going to have and the rules we're going to live under. And I think that that people are not going to want to give that up. And for all the voting rights arguments going on, that's what they are. They're arguments at this point. And I believe that the truth will out, and that the good will prevail, and that we will begin to expand the franchise so that no American is not availed of an opportunity to exercise the democratic franchise that I believe is our birthright.
So I should maybe mention to listeners, we're taping this on Thursday of last week. They're hearing it Monday, Martin Luther King Day. We're taping the Thursday before. Senator Kyrsten Sinema has come out and said she would not vote to neuter the filibuster when it comes to the Democratic voting rights legislation. And because no Republicans seem to be interested in getting on board with it, it's become a sort of inside Democratic game. I wonder if, as a former senator, what do you think about the filibuster on this issue or in general?
Well, let me say this. It's important that we protect the rights of the minority. And I've actually used the filibuster myself. When I was in the Senate, I filibustered the Confederate flag, if you may remember that, too.
Yeah, we talked about that last time you were on the show, as a matter of fact, yes.
Right, exactly. So it does have a place, but now it's being used to deprive and deny people of the right to vote, and that's just wrong. And so I think that for whatever procedural reasons, Senator Sinema or Senator Manchin or whoever else it is wants to point to, the fact is that when the filibuster or any other procedure is being used to deny Americans the right to vote or deny Americans the essential access to the franchise, I think that's when you draw the line and say enough is enough. And I think that I'm delighted the president has finally come out and said and taken a position on this because people are looking for leadership and guidance in that regard. And I just hope that we can, again, it all depends on the composition of the Senate. Right now, as you know, it's a split, and Democrats do not have a majority. But it shouldn't take a Democratic majority. There ought to be Republicans on board for something as basic as the franchise, and as basic as protecting the right to vote, the right or access to the ballot by Americans. And so I'm hoping that there will be some bipartisanship or nonpartisanship, because that's not a partisan issue. That's an issue of democracy.
Well, just about a minute left in our conversation. As we are observing Martin Luther King Jr. Day today, what are you reflecting on in 2022 about his life and legacy?
Well, you know, and this may sound like a digression, but it's not. My telephone screensaver is a picture of my grandfather, who was a doughboy in World War I. And he actually fought in France for the United States in the war to end all wars, you recollect. Even though he couldn't vote, he couldn't sit on the front of the bus, he was, because of segregation and all the institutions around that, he was absolutely denied an opportunity to be a full-fledged American. But he was prepared to put his life on the line for this country. And there's so many people have done so many heroic and patriotic things to give us the opportunity that we have. And I just think that we have to be grateful for that and recognize that it's our responsibility to give back to the country in our generation, because so much has been given to give us the opportunities and the chances that we have, that we enjoy now. But I remain confident that if people just remember that patriotism is not Democratic or Republican, it really is something that we all share as Americans, and we all have a responsibility to previous generations and to generations to come. I mean, I've got grandbabies now, and so I want to make sure that they grow up in a country where they can participate in governance, which is what the promise of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence are.
Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun, thank you for being with us on this Martin Luther King Day.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.